Good morning. This is a scripture reading from Psalm 23, Peter chapter 3, verse 17 to 22, John chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk in the darkest valley, I fear no evil.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight lives, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one who can do these things For no one can do these things, signs that you do, unless God is with that person. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit. This is the word of God.
Before we listen to God's message for us this morning, I invite you to bow your heads in prayer with me. Lord our God, as we gather together as your people, we are grateful. We are grateful for this body that we belong to, the body of Jesus, who came to be with us in the flesh, who gave his life as a sacrifice, so that we today again could come and receive the living water, a forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for your word that is still relevant, still life-giving, that still changes people. And so we pray for your spirit to work powerfully through your word this morning, and that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the message that you have for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So next to the air that we breathe, water is the primary element in God's creation. Without fresh water, your body cannot be sustained. When water comes in all shapes and sizes, depending on its use and also its temperature. When water is frozen, it is solid. And so we put ice in many of our drinks or beverages, or snow falls on the mountains. When water is above freezing, it's a liquid, and we drink it, or we shower or bathe with it. We wash our clothes and we wash the dishes. And finally, when water is heated, it becomes a gas. And so water is simply everywhere in our lives. And it's safe to say that without it, we simply cannot live. Because water gives you life. But water can also be powerful. It can be destructive. A flood can cause people to lose their homes or lose their lives. So I don't know if you remember the story of Noah and the ark in the Bible. It's one of the first stories you learn as a child. So God told Noah that he would flood the entire earth until the highest mountain was 20 feet underwater. And so he destroyed everything because of the wickedness of man. But he made a covenant and a promise to save Noah and his family. Moses in the Old Testament, when he led the people out of Egypt to freedom from slavery, they came to the Red Sea, if you remember that. And God divided the water so that the Israelites could escape on dry land from the Egyptian army who pursued them. And then God delivered a deadly blow to the Egyptian army when they followed the Israelites into the Red Sea, and he closed the waters onto them. And the sea literally slammed shut, crushing and drowning the whole of the Egyptian army. And so water, it circulates often in the scriptures in large ways, but also in small ways. Sometimes there's a flooding. Sometimes there's a washing or a watering or a healing or refreshing or cleansing and reshaping all through water. Under Joshua, God led Israel to the promised land when he parted the Jordan River. And then in the days of the kings, if you remember, Elijah healed Naaman. Naaman was a Syrian army commander who suffered from leprosy. And so he was healed because Elijah said to him, go dip yourself and wash yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. When Israel was traveling through the wilderness and they became thirsty, Moses sweetened the bitter waters of Marah and made water flow from a hard rock. And so God always refreshes his people. It's a refreshing we seek and need. And so the psalmist says, as a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Isaiah even invited God's people to be refreshed. He says, the Lord says, all who are thirsty, come and drink. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. He says, if you're thirsty, come to the water. In the New Testament, Jesus launched his ministry in water when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River again. And so you see, just as Israel had crossed the Jordan River long ago under the hand of their helper and really their savior Joshua to enter the promised land, so Jesus, our savior and helper, enters the Jordan River to baptize you and to give you the promised land of heaven. When Elijah told Naaman, the Gentile leader, to dip himself 7 times into that same Jordan River, he initially didn't want to do it. He said, this is foolish. But then he did, and what happened? He was healed from his disease. He saw his leprosy evaporate. All right, so how's all this, talk about water and healing and refreshing water relevant to you and me here this morning? Well, the message for today is Jesus still washes all your sins away today in the waters of your baptism. And because of your faith in him, he, Jesus, gives you the promised land of heaven. Remember, Jesus had no sin, and yet he immersed himself in sin to fulfill in human flesh all that Israel and all that we could never do. And so it's no accident that water is splashed everywhere in Jesus' ministry. In his first miracle, remember, he turns water into wine to refresh the people. Then we read in our gospel reading today that Jesus lovingly encourages Nicodemus to be born of water and the Spirit. In another passage in John 4 at Jacob's well, Jesus also offers living water to the Samaritan woman. In John 5, when Jesus sees the lame, he heals a paralyzed man who had been waiting 38 years to get into the pool of Bethesda. And Jesus, remembering how God gave the Israelites water in the wilderness, says to the crowd at the Feast of Tabernacles, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." And Jesus also walks on water. And he washes the disciples' feet with water. And finally, Jesus allows water and blood to pour forth from his side as he hangs on the cross. So is all of this water simply coincidental? I don't believe so. I think it's reasonable. I think it's rhythmic. Water is woven throughout the whole Bible. And even though not every passage is directly a baptism, these passages of water are pointing you to Jesus. And that's why the Apostle Paul states in 1 Corinthians 10, "Friends, I want to remind you that all our ancestors walked under the cloud and went through the sea. This was like being baptized and becoming followers of Moses. All of them also ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, which flowed from the spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ." And so just as God saved Noah and his family by water, so your baptism now saves you. It says those flood waters were like baptism that now saves you. And so listen, I mean, your Heavenly Father who loves you reshapes you like a piece of moistened clay. And he rewashes you and changes you every day through the baptismal water. He's conforming you into the image of his loving Son, Jesus. Before Scripture were fully recorded for all God's people to see and be able to read, the early church fathers used physical water to teach the Bible and baptism and faith in Christ. And so you were invited today to come to the baptismal font and to dip your hand into the water. It was to remind you that the living water of Jesus Christ always refreshes. This is where you were once born. And we are joyfully reborn every day. Another time Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." He's your vine who grafted you onto himself and his church by water. It's for in him that we live and move and have our being. It's in him that we find our meaning. The psalmist says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb." Just as your mother's womb so beautifully protected you in water when God knitted you together, the Holy Spirit protects you in the womb of your new mother, the Holy Church. And so get a picture, you know, in your mind of someone throwing a lump of clay on a pottery wheel and shaping a beautiful vase. If you were to ask a potter how he or she makes that beautiful vase like that, they would tell you it's the water that makes clay moldable before it's fired in the oven. And so in the same way, your Heavenly Father, the potter, works in you by the Holy Spirit every day to shape your life into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Your old self is drowned, so that a new you is reshaped. Just as the Holy Spirit hovered all over the waters of creation to bring it to life, so He fills you with new life in Jesus now and every day. And this is really what Lent is all about. It's about drowning an old you so that a new joyful you can arise. I mean, during Lent, the church is full of dark purple colors. And the dark colors remind us of Christ's passion, His death, His blood, His tomb. But this is not where it will stay. We will rise again and anew from our tomb this Easter when everything will be draped in white. So let me end today's message by asking you something. What needs to be drowned in you today? And whatever that is, does it affect your marriage or your family? Or your relationships? Maybe it's a sinful habit that, you know, you just can't shake. Maybe it's an attitude about life that makes you cynical and negative about everything. Maybe it's a lack of gratitude toward God for all the blessings you have in your life, and you believe that you simply deserve all of that. Or is it a temper, you know, that just ignites at the littlest of irritation or provocation? Or the way you talk to other people. Or the way you treat them. Or how you look down on them, or judge them, or criticize them. What needs to be drowned in you today? Are you more like moldable clay that can be reshaped by water? Or have you become like hard pottery that cannot change and needs to be crushed? The good news is that Jesus Christ was crucified with all of that. Your sin was nailed on His cross. His blood was shed for you, and He was buried with your sins too. So Jesus Christ, your vine, your rock, your shepherd, as we heard, died so that you live in sin no longer. You are washed again today, forgiven of all of your sins. But here's what you need to remember, though. God loves you. Loves you just the way you are, okay? Loves you just the way you are. But He loves you too much to leave you that way. He refuses to leave you that way. He wants to mold you. He wants to make you more like His Son Jesus. And so fix your eyes on Jesus and be refreshed by the Lamb of God every day. He's the one who takes away the sin of the world. And open yourself to the work of the Holy Spirit, who's making you more and more into the image of Him who was resurrected from the dead. Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, I pray that your Spirit will work in us, that the water of baptism will make us moldable, so that your Spirit can change us. Thank you for reassuring us today that you love us so much, that you gave your Son. You love us just the way we are, but you love us too much to leave us that way. And so your Spirit is recreating us, working in our lives, making us more and more like your Son, Jesus. Thank you that our sins are forgiven through His blood that flowed from the cross. And may the water of our baptism and water everywhere remind us that He's the living water. And whoever comes to Him will never thirst again. So thank you for your love and your grace and your forgiveness and your patient Holy Spirit working in us. We invite you to continue to do that with gratitude in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen.